Okay, Shalom Rabbi. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Ayin Gimel. We have the tremendous chus of finishing the seventh parak in Maseches Yuma, and we'll do a little bit of the eighth to start it off. But here we're at the bottom of Ayin Beis Amud Beis, at the two dots, with a quote from our Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, "Right, Be'elu Nishalim Be'urim V'Tumim." This is how they would ask the Urim V'Tumim questions. And this meaning with all the begadim, with all the clothing, with the eight begadim of the Kohen Gadol. So the Gemara starts and says, "Ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, begadim shekohen gadol meshamish b'hem meshuach melchama meshamish b'hem." These clothing, these eight begadim that the Kohen Gadol uses, it was also used by the meshuach melchama. What was the meshuach melchama? So they had a special Kohen set up to be like the cheerleader for war, for melchama. You ever see all those movies, right? How the king gives a speech, right? Everybody's on horseback, right? Before they're about to charge into the battle, king gives a speech, everybody gets all fired up and goes. So they had a coin like that. He was called the coin Meshuach Melchama, and he sure enough would basically do that before every battle. So it says again, says Rav Dimi that he would wear the eight begadim, right? The eight big deguna. For the coin gadol. Shenamar Pasuk says, "Big dekodesh asher le'aron yulevanav acharav." Right, that the big day kodesh for Aaron, right, the eight begadim, right, the big begadim for the Kohen Gadol, would be for his sons after him. Now the Gemara says, what do you mean acharav? His sons after him. Obviously, his sons came after him. Right, that's how it works. Right, so the Gemara says, no, acharav doesn't mean after him, meaning referring to his sons. It's referring to something else. It's lemishabah begdula acharav. It's someone who is a little bit less in greatness after him, meaning someone who is less great. Than he is, and even that person is allowed to wear those big day kahuna, those big day kodesh. Masiv Rav Adab, and that's talking about the Meshuach Melchama, who wasn't a Kohen Gadol, but he wasn't a regular Kohen either. Okay, Masiv Rav Adab, asked the following question. Vermila Kedi, and some people say, well, Kedi, as we've mentioned before, is Machogas in the Achronim, whether it was just the name of an actual Amora, or it just means some random guy that we don't know his name. Okay, either way, Yochel. So he asked the following question: Yochel Yehi Benoshel Meshuach Melchama Meshamish Tachtav Kederach She Benoshel Kohen Gadol Meshamish Tachtav. You might have thought that just like by the Kohen Gadol, right, the one to succeed him, right, we start by looking for a successor to the Kohen Gadol. We start with his son. So you might have thought, meaning obviously, if he's not worthy, that he doesn't become the Kohen Gadol. But we start the search with his son. So you might have thought the same applies to the Kohen Meshuach Melchama. So Tamala, therefore the pasuk says, "Shivas yamin yilvashama kohen tachtav mi banav asher yavo lo hamoed." Right, for 7 days, right, he has to wear all of this stuff, right? And again, what does it say at the end? It says tachtav mi banav. Who comes after him? His children, asher yavo lo hamoed. Right, who comes to the ol moed? Misha roy lo hamoed. Right, it's only someone who is able to go into the ol moed, i.e., the kodesh kadashim. Right, is where we're going to go. Right, tachtav mi banav. We're going to start kind of doing, looking for the next one. We take that his son to be the next one. So if the problem with that is that Ve'emisa, if you're telling me that the Kohen Gadol wears the Big Day Kahuna, right, all the Big Day Kahuna, Kohen Gadol, so Mechzichazi, why can't he go into the Kodesh Kadashim? He is allowed to go into the Kodesh Kadashim. He is, he's able to wear all those begadim. He's able to do all that stuff. So that's a tachlis. He is able to. So maybe he shouldn't be able to wear these big day kahuna gedola. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Hachi Kamar. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says no. This is what it means. Right? No, it doesn't mean anybody who's technically able to go in because he's allowed to wear the big day kahuna kohen gadol. Right? No, it's someone whose sole purpose, his function, right, is to go into the ohal moed. Right? That's the person who we're going to choose. Right, to start the search for his backup, right, we're going to start with his son. But Yatzezeshi Iker Mishichasu L'Melchama, but that's meaning excluding someone whose sole purpose is to get the troops ready for battle. Right, that's not in shaykh to this halacha whatsoever. Meisvei, hold on 1 second. I ask you another question against Rav Dimi, who said that the Mishoch Melchama can wear the Big Day Kahuna Gedola, and the Big Day Kohen Gadol. I keep on saying Kahuna Gedola. Right, it's Big Day Kahuna and Big Day Kohen Gadol. All right, either way. Right, Meisvei, ask me a question. Mishoch Melchama Ino Mishamish Lo Ba'arba Kohen Hedyor V'Lo B'Shmona Kohen Gadol. Right, the says this brisa that the Mishoch Melchama was kind of like an in between. He was like a limbo. Right, he was between the regular Kohen and the Kohen Gadol. He didn't wear the four begadim of a regular Kohen because he was kind of higher than that, but he wouldn't wear the eight begadim of the Kohen Gadol, right, because he was kind of like in between. He was like an elevated state, but he wasn't as high as the Kohen Gadol. Well, this Bryce clearly says he didn't wear the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, So, Amarle Abaye, Elazar Meshavis Leh. Whoa, I don't understand. So, he's going to wear jeans and a t-shirt. You're going to make him into a Zari? You're going to make him into a non-Kohen? No. He says, so Abaye explains. He's stuck for the following reason. Kikon Gadol Mishum Eva. Right? We don't want to let him do any avoda in Beis HaMikdash, like wearing these begadim, right? Because of Mishum Eva, because we're not going to, we don't want the Kohen Gadol to be jealous and upset. Meaning that if he would show up, right? Can you imagine your Kohen Gadol, you're walking around in the big day kahuna, and all of a sudden there's somebody else walking around. Well, not, I guess they wouldn't wear it at the same time, but can you imagine seeing someone else in the same big day kahuna as a big day Kohen Gadol as you? Right, it'd be very frustrating. So Abaye says, really, he's allowed to wear, he should be wearing these big day kahuna Kohen Gadol, but he doesn't because we're afraid that the Kohen Gadol will get upset. But Kohen Hedyot, but he also doesn't wear the four begadim, right, of a regular Kohen, because again, he's higher, he's a higher level, right? He's been elevated somewhat, so we don't want him to wear a regular Kohen, Kohen's clothing. So that's when he's just kind of stuck. But as Rashi points out, midaraisa, he really should be wearing the big day Kohen Gadol, and that's what Rav Dimi said, that he would technically wear the big day Kohen Gadol, but Kohen Rabaye, or this Braisa, right, is concerned, right, for Eva. So we're concerned that the Kohen Gadol will be upset. So Amarle Rav Ada Bar Abba, the Rava, so Rav Ada Bar Abba said to Rava, one second, Vaitana Delesla Eva, Veloka Meshavish. One second, there's the Tana said, there's the following Tana, as we're going to see in the Brisa in one second, holds that there is no concern for Eva, meaning we're not concerned that the Kohen Gadol is going to be upset, and yet he also holds that the Kohen Meshoch Bachama does not wear the big day Kohen Gadol. So we see that they're not connected, meaning that that's apparently not the reason why the Kohen Meshoch Mochama does not wear the big day Kohen Gadol. Because the following Tana doesn't care about Eva, and yet he says he still shouldn't wear the big day Kohen Gadol. Okay, so we're going to have, that's what he's going to say. That's the question, and we have a bit of a brisa here, just to keep that in mind. Right, so the brisa starts like this, Tanya, Devarim Shebein Kohen Gadol the Kohen Hedyot. What are the things that separate a Kohen Gadol from a Kohen Hedyot? Meaning, how are they different? So the Kohen Gadol would bring par Kohen Mashiach, upar Abala Kol HaMitzvos, upar Yom Kippurim, Vasir Zaifa, right? He brings all those korbanos have to be only brought by the Kohen Gadol. Lo Poreah v'lo Poreim, if Rachmana Litzlan, he has a relative who dies, he doesn't leave his hair uncut, meaning he still gets a haircut. V'lo Poreim, he doesn't tear his clothing, right? Avol Poreim hum b'lamata, but instead of, right, doing a regular tear like people do, so he would tear it at the bottom, right? Just it would be not noticeable. V'ahediot milamala, regular Kohen would tear normally. V'ein metame the krova, he doesn't go to the to the basic kvaros, he does not metame for the krovim. U'metzuva ala basula, he has to marry a virgin as opposed to a regular Kohen who's who is allowed to marry a ba'ula. U'musra ala mana, Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry a widow, which is not true of a regular Kohen. U'machzir is a rotzech, and if the Kohen Gadol dies, so then a rotzech b'shogeg, someone who killed by accident, he's in the ear miklat, so he goes free. Umakrif onen, he is allowed to bring korbanos if he's an onen. If Rachman Latzon, a relative, dies that day before the kvura, so he is allowed, the Kohen Gadol is allowed still to do the avoda. Veno ochel, veno cholik, although he doesn't eat of that korban and he doesn't take any portion for later. Okay. Veno tochelik barosh, and when he's not an onen, this is back to a regular case, a normal day, right? If he wants, right, he can do whatever he wants, right? He can do any avoda he wants. He gets to the front of the line if he wants to take some portions of korbanos or do some sort of avoda. Umakriv chelik, and then he's also able to do some avoda if he wants. He goes to the front of the line. Barosh, sorry, it's noto chelik barosh. He's allowed to take some of the portions. And then makriv chelik barosh, he's allowed to do any avoda that he wants. Umishavish b'shmona kelim, and he wears the eight begadim. Upoter al tumas mikdav shkadshav, and he would be poter for the lacha, right, for whatever reason. If it was tame, again, he would be putter for that. Meaning bringing the korban if he did a bishogeg, right? That's what Rashi says. Right? That's a gemara in Horios, right? A lot of Horios discusses this stuff. Okay, v'chol avodas yom kippurim inuk shares elabo. Obviously, right, as we discussed the entire masechta, he has to do all of the avodah in Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. V'kulan nohagos. Okay, now the Brisa continues and says v'kulan nohagos Bemerubim Begadim, and this is whether the Kohen Gadol was anointed. Right, there were two ways you could become Kohen Gadol. Either they anointed you with the Shemen HaMishcha, or he just wore the Begadim. Right, that's called Merubim Begadim. He just put the clothing on him, so that the clothing made the man. Right, so that's how he was. Right? When they didn't have any Shemen HaMishcha anymore, that's how they would appoint the Kohen Gadol. So all of this applies whether the Kohen Gadol was anointed with the oil or if he was appointed with. By wearing the clothing, chutz mi par haba'al kol ha-mitzvos, except for this par that comes if he paskins that really by accident that people actually violate an isser because of his psak, that he would. Except for that, that's only brought. The pasuk says that's only brought by a kohen that's anointed by the Shemen HaMishcha. Okay, v'chulam nahagos b'mashuach she'avar, and all of these apply to a backup to a kohen gadol who is not serving anymore. Right, if you remember, we talked about the Kohen Gadol would step in. Let's say, for example, if the other Kohen Gadol was got hurt or became tamei or whatever, right, and then the backup would return to being a backup. And again, and also any Kohen Gadol, I guess, who stepped down if he was older, pashtus. But really talking about a backup, right? A backup who served as Kohen Gadol for a little bit and then stepped aside. All of this applies to him as well. Chutz mipar Yom Kippur and Asir Seifa, except for the par brought in Yom Kippur and the Asir Seifa brought by the Kohen Gadol every single day, because those right only. One korban was allowed to be brought from those every single day, so it had to be brought by the Kohen Gadol, not the backup. V'chulan einu hagadim b'mashuach melchama. Now, none of them are brought by the Mashuach melchama. None of this is shayach to the Kohen Mashuach melchama. Chutz mechamisha dvarim hamurim b'parsha, except for the following five things: lo porea, he doesn't leave his hair. He doesn't cut it. Leave his hair uncut, meaning he can cut his hair when he's an avel. Lo porim, he doesn't tear his clothing. What's it called? V'lo metame b'krovav. He doesn't. He's not metame, right? If Rachmana Litzlan, a relative, dies, umetuvah basula, he has to marry a virgin. Umuzar al almana, he's not allowed to marry a widow. What's it called? V'umaksir sarutzeach. And also, if he dies, so then right, as a machlokas in the Gemara Makos, whether the people in the Ir Miklat go free if the Kohen Mashuach Melchama dies. So that's Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim say he does not allow, right, if the Kohen Mashuach Melchama dies, all the murderers Meshogig do not go free. Yeah, but Rabbi Yehuda says they do, Rabbi Chachamim say they don't. Tachlis, what do the prices say? Okay, we said all the Kohen, what did we say? We said all of the halachas of the Kohen Gadol, right, applies to the backup Kohen Gadol. Right? Again, where we first brought up this concept of Eva, right, this concept of potential jealousy between the Kohen Gadol and his backup. Right, we said all the halachos apply to the Kohen Gadol and his backup, right? That he could even wearing the begadim, right, and doing all this avoda and such. So apparently we're not concerned about Eva, we're not concerned that the regular Kohen Gadol is going to get upset, right? But what do we say? That we said the only five things that the Mashuach Melchama does is these five things that we listed, but he doesn't, that does not include wearing the big day kuna, the big day Kohen Gadol. So we see that it can't be the reason that the Mashuach Melchama doesn't wear the big day Kohen Gadol. It can't be because of Eva, because we see that this Tana doesn't care about Eva. Right? Because he says the backup can do all of the avoda and wear the begadim, right, in the face of the regular Kohen Gadol. So apparently Eva's not an issue for him. As Kohen says, you're right. When does he not hold that Eva is an issue? Kilesle Eva Bidika Vase. Right? He only doesn't have Eva, right, if it's like him, meaning the backup is equal to the Kohen Gadol. But Bidizutra mean Eva, it's smaller than him, less than him. If you're talking about the Kohen Mashuach Melchama, then Isle, then the Kohen Gadol is going to get upset. Right? You can imagine, right, when a superstar basketball player or superstar whatever, baseball player, right, you bring another superstar on the team, so he doesn't get upset. Right? If those two superstars are paid the same amount of money, right, they'll have the Elef Alfa Adalas. So he doesn't get upset. The other guy's worthy of all of his, you know, all of his accolades, and he gets the salary or whatever. But if you pay a lesser player the same salary, so then he gets upset, right? Then the big superstar is like, hey, what's going on over here? Right? Why is the lesser player getting all of this stuff? So that's obviously not a great example, but it's the same idea over here, that we would be concerned, according to this Tana, the Kohen Gadol would be upset if a lesser Kohen would wear the big day Kohen Gadol. Okay. Yasi Rabbi Yavo, Yosef Rabbi Avo, Bakamar La Shmaitzav, Ishmaid Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Avo said that this is Rabbi Yochanan, meaning this is in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. That, again, Rav Dimi said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Right? We find that a lot. Right? So they said the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Adrinu Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, La Payu. And Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi turned away, meaning they didn't. They disagreed. They wanted to disagree. They didn't want to disagree and contradict Rabbi Avo straight up, but they turned their faces away to say, like, nah, I don't agree. Yikudam. I mean, some people say no. It's Rabbi Chiya bar Abba who said, "Who Amr v'Adrinu." It's really Rabbi Chiya bar Abba who said it, and Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi la v'Adrinu Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi la Payu. And it was Rabbi Chiya bar Abba who Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi turned their faces away and didn't respond. So Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Why didn't they just say no? That's not what Rabbi Yochanan said. Right? Why didn't they say that that's not true? So that's what Rav Papa asked. Maskev Rav Papa, Bishlam Rabbi Avo, I understand why they wouldn't have openly contradicted Rabbi Avo, Mishum Yukara de Bekesa. Because apparently Rabbi Avo was in tight with the Caesar, and an open defamation or correction of Rabbi Avo, right, might have ruffled some feathers, and maybe people would have heard and told the Caesar or whatever. Okay, so I get it. Politically, they didn't want to say anything. But Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Nemrulei Meimar, so I wanted to just say something. Right, so that makes no sense. Right? Why did they just say, Lo Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi? Right? Rabbi Yochanan never said this. So it must be, I mean, Pashas is, there should be like some sort of two dots or whatever. Well, not really, but there shouldn't be some sort of Kamash Malan. But what the Gemara is saying is that it must have been Rabbi Avo who said it to Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi and not Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Okay. Kiyasa Ravin, right? Again, very often when you have Rav Dimi coming from Eretz Yisrael, very often Ravin is on his heels. So when Ravin showed up, Amar, he said, Nishal Itzmar. No, he said, the Kohen Meshuch Melchama, when does he wear the Big Day Kohen Gadol? That's only Nishal. That's only if he has to be asked, if he has to ask the Urim V'Tumim. Right? If someone had to ask the Urim V'Tumim, right, that's only, when the king goes to ask, you know, whether they should go to war or whatever, so that's when the Kohen Meshuch Melchama wears all the eight begadim. But not when he goes, let's say, inside the Beis HaMikdash to do some avoda or whatever. Only if they're asking the Urim V'Tumim what the deal is. So Tanya Mihachi, we also learned the Rice exactly like this, that begadim she'kohen gadol meshamish ben meshuch melchama nishwal abayim. That the clothing in which the Kohen Gadol would wear, right, that Kohen Meshuch Melchama would wear them when the king or whoever, as we'll see, a couple of people allowed to ask the Urim V'Tumim something, when whoever wanted to ask, that's what the Kohen Meshuch Melchama would wear when he would be asked of the king or whatever. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan, we learned the Rabbi. So Ketzad Sholin, how do you ask the Urim V'Tumim? So Hashoel Panav Klapi Nishal. So the one who is asking, let's say the king, is facing the Nishal, the one being asked, i.e. the Kohen Gadol, Vanishal, and the one being asked, Panav Klapei Shechina. His face is towards the Shechina. Now, what does that mean? So, now, Pashas is, Rashi says that it's talking about the Urim V'Tumim. The Urim V'Tumim, right, in the Choshen, right, the Urim V'Tumim, Agav, what is the Urim V'Tumim? Right, that's not discussed in the Chumash, and as far as I know, it's not discussed in the Gemara. I could be wrong. I am not holding all of Shas, but as far as I know, it's not discussed in the Gemara either. Pashas is, in Chazal, it was a piece of paper that had the Shem Hashem written on side of it, on top of it, stuck in between the folds of the Choshen. Okay, that's... I forget where is it. What shot is it? I think that's. I'm not sure if it's a medrash somewhere. I don't remember. That's Pashas what it was. So what does it mean that according to Rashi that the Kohen Gadol, again, that the king was facing the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Gadol was facing the Shechina? What does that mean? So Rashi says that the Kohen Gadol was facing the Urim V'Tumim, which is the Shechina, which is the Shem Hashem, which is like, you know, where the Ruach HaKodesh, right, where all this magic was going to manifest from. The Rambam writes, that's ridiculous. Obviously, he's always facing the Shechina. He's wearing the Choshen on his breastplate. It's on his chest. Right? He's obviously facing the quote-unquote Shechina, since the Rambam says, no, he was facing the Aron, that he would face the Kodesh Kadashim. That's, okay, fine, either way, that's Machlokes Rashi and the Rambam. So Shoal Omer, the guy asking, meaning the king, would ask, Erdof Acharei Agdud Hazeh, should I run after this army? Vanisha Omer, the Kohen Gadol, the one being asked, would say, Kol Mar Hashem, Alev Etzliach. Right, this is what Hashem says, go up and be successful. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Tzarech Lomar Kol Mar Hashem. Rabbi Yehuda says, what are you talking about? You don't say this is what God said, obviously. Right? We're not asking the jewels or the piece of paper, the parchment, to tell us. Obviously, it's from Hashem. Say, I'll rather, what did he say? He would just say, Alev Etzliach. I'd just go up and be successful. Ain Shaul the Mikol, they wouldn't ask out loud. It wasn't like some big announcement on the loudspeaker. Shinamar Vishal Lo, because the pasuk says you ask, right? You don't announce. And you don't just, you know, kind of think about it. Shinamar Vishal Lo, Lefne Hashem, right? You have to speak. Right, Ela Kederek Sha'amra Chana Betzvilasa. Just like Chana said, right, we learn a lot of the halachas of davening from Chana, and we learn apparently this halacha as well, that as Shneimer, as the pasuk says, V'chana hi medaberes al liba, then she's speaking on her heart, meaning speaking loud enough for her heart to hear, but not for anyone else to speak. So you can imagine, right, the king, just like by a bris, right, when the Rav announcing the name of the baby, father leans in, whispers the name, and then the Rav announces it. So kind of the same thing, I assume, right, the king would say so that it was audible to the Kohen Gadol, right, not so out loud, right, just like the father announcing, speaking to, I don't know, Agav, I have no idea why the father doesn't just say, you know, Shlomi Yitzchak, or whatever, like, why, okay, so he tells the Rav, for whatever reason, sometimes usually he whispers. And that's mistama what the king did to the Kohen Gadol as well. Okay. Ein shal and shnei dvarim ke'echad. Don't ask two questions at once. Right? Just ask one question. Ve'im shal, and if they did ask, ze'in machzirin ela echad. You only get one answer back. Ve'in machzirin lo ela rishon. And you only get the first answer back. Right? If you ask two questions, you only get the first. Shnei as Pazik says, ha'eskiruni bale ke'ila biyado hayered shaul. Again, this is David HaMelech asked the Urim Tumim, right, Shaul was running after him, and he wanted to know if the people of Keilah would rebel against him and give up his hiding spot. So he asked two questions. He said, are the people in Keilah going to give me up, and is Shaul coming? Is Shaul coming down, right, to catch me? Vayomer Hashem, Yered. And Hashem said, he's coming down. So now the obvious question is, if you're telling me you're only getting one answer, and you're getting the first answer, well, that's not the first question that David asked. Right? That's the second question David asked. Right? I thought you just told me that you only get one answer, and it's the first answer. So it says, come on, David Shal, Shal Kaseder. Really, David asked out of order. Right? And they asked him, they answered him in order, meaning that when is it relevant if the people of Keilah are going to give him over to Shaul? Only if Shaul is coming down from Yerushalayim to Keilah. Right, that should have been the first question. The first question is Shaul showing up. If Shaul is not here, so then the first question of whether he's going to be given over is irrelevant. So David realized that, and the Gemara says, once David realized that there was a proper order to asking the questions, so then Chazav Shaul Kaseder, he went back and he asked again. Shneimar, the pasuk says, Ha'is Giru Bale Keilah Osi, V'Ezanshe Beis Shaul, Vayom Hashem Yazgiru. And then he said, right, again, after Hashem said that Shaul was coming, David asked again, right, are the people going to give me over? And they said, sure enough, yeah, they are. And David knew to get out of there. But the Taklis is, he realized that that should have been the second question. So after the first question was answered, he asked again, right, the second question. Okay, even Hitzroch Hadavar L'Shnayim, Achzirin L'Shnayim. But Bryce does say that if, for whatever reason, you need two answers, right, it was really Dechuf. I'm not sure why that wasn't so Dechuf, that David didn't need two answers right away, but okay. If you really need two answers quickly, so then you get two answers. Shneimar as the pasuk says, "Vayishal David Hashem leimor." David said that Hayardof acharei hagedud hazeh. Right? Should I go after this army? Meaning, should I go fight this war? Hasigenu? Will I defeat them? Vayomer Hashem lo redov ki yaseik tasig v'atzel tatzil. Right? Go after them, and you will be successful. That was, again, David found out that the Amalekim had destroyed the houses, where the towns where they were living. David was, meaning morale was very low, and people were going to, like, kill him. So David really needed to, and again, the Amalekim were leaving, so they had to really run after them. So David asked, right, that, again, since time was of the essence, so I guess David got the answer right away. Valfa Pisha Xeris Navi Choseres, and says the Gemara, even though that a Navi, sometimes when a Navi makes Xeris, a Navi makes a prophecy, so sometimes that doesn't happen. Right? Choseres, it comes back, meaning it doesn't necessarily happen. What example can you think of? So Rashi says, a pretty famous one, the second white line in Rashi, Xeris Navi Choseres, what's the example? Could go Shal Yonah Ben Amiti. Right? What did Yonah say? Right? Oh, what did Hashem tell him? Od shloshim yom v'ninve ne'epachas, right? Another 30 days and Ninveh will be destroyed. And sure enough, what happened? Right? They davened and they fasted, and sure enough, Xerah was overturned. And so even though you see that Xerah of a Navi can be overturned, so Xerah urim v'tum me'ano choseres. It's not true of something that happens that's foretold through the urim v'tumim. Shenamar, as Balzac says, but mishpat urim, right? The mishpat is the judgment, right? That's already, that's like the psak din. If that comes down, right, as Rashi says, "Kedin she'eno chozer." Right, that's hard and fast. The Gemara says, "Lama nikra shman urim v'tumim," and why do we call it the urim v'tumim? Urim Shemi'irin is Devereihen, right? Urim, that it lights up, right? Or, right? Lashon Or, right? Lights up the words, right? The things that need to be said. And Tumim, what does that mean? Right? Shemashlimin is Devereihen. That, right, again, Tam is complete, right? So that's like, right, Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Alehim doesn't mean Chas Shalom that he was simple. I saw an article by written by some idiot intellectual that said that Yaakov was, what was it, like learning disabled or something, ADHD or something. I was like, what? What kind of stupid twisting of Torah is that? Anyway, so it doesn't mean that it's simple, right? Tumim means complete, is pure, right, and finished. Shemashlimim is Devereihen, right? It's all those words that come out, right? Meaning, it's always true. Always true with what the Urim and Tumim says. Vim Tomar, you'll ask me the Kasha. One second. There were certain times when the Urim and Tumim said something and it did not come true. For example, the Givas Binyamin, unfortunately, by the story of Peleg Ish Begiva. Right, that was a crazy story, right? If you know, towards the end of Shoftim, right, you had again similar to in Sodom, when the people gathered on Lot's house and demanded that Lot send out the Malachim so they could abuse them. So same thing with a Pilegesh. A Pilegesh was raped the entire night. She died, and her owner sent right pieces of her body throughout the entire Am Yisrael. And Am Yisrael kind of freaked out and said to Binyamin, you know, everybody's got to do tshuva here. We got to kill people. We got to, we got to punish them for the fact that this is what's going on in Shevet Binyamin. They went to the Urim V'Tumim, right, and they fought against Binyamin, and they lost. The first time they went to the Urim V'Tumim, they fought a battle, and they lost. They went against Binyamin again a second time, and they lost. The third time they went to the Urim V'Tumim, finally to Pinchas ben Elazar, right? He went and they went, right, because Pinchas had long life, right? He was still alive then. So he took everybody. And finally, the third time they were successful. But the Taklis says the first two times that the Urim V'Tumim told them to go to war, and they were defeated, right? The rest of the Jews, right? Binyamin defeated there. A lot of people died. So that's the Gemara is asking. One second. Ben Tomer, Begivah, Binyamin, by the story of Pilagish Begivah, Mepnei Matlo Ishlimu. Why weren't they correct? Why didn't it work out? Right? They weren't true. So the Gemara says, Heim Shalom Bichinu El Lenatzeach Im Lenatzeach. Right? They only asked. They did not ask whether they're going to win or lose. They just only asked if they should go out to war. Right. So that's so. Pasha says, I just said, okay, sure, go, whatever you want. But didn't ask. They didn't ask him if they're going to be successful. Uvacharona. But the last time, the third time they asked, then Shebechinu Hiskimu. Right. Then they asked, and the Urim V'Tumim Hiskim. They agreed. Right, he was there. How safe? Od latesla milchama im bnei binyamin achi im echdal. Right, well, right. Should I go up or should I stop? Hashem said, "Go and you will defeat them." Right again. So, will I be? That they asked whether they'd be successful, and the Kosh Baruch said yes, and that's how. Right, again, so it wasn't really that it wasn't becoming. Becoming true. So the Gemara says, "Ketzav Nasis." How do you do this? What happened on the Urim V'Tumim on the Choshen that allowed them to understand what the pshat was? Was there a voice? Was there a thing? So again, pretty well known that Rabbi Yochanan Omar Boltos, the letters would jut out. For whatever reason, right? Again, they had letters of the Shvatim written on the gems, on the Choshen, so the letters would jut out. I guess they would, figure out. I guess they would be bullied, right? Again, right? Bullied is probably a bad word, right? If you look at Rashi, he says that the problem at the end. He says, if you look at Rashi, the Ramaskal Boldos, v'chol achas ino zozim im koma. It's not that the letters actually moved. But the inside would kind of move, meaning the stone inside of it, and then it would, what's it called, and you'd be able to figure it out. Okay, fine. That's one shot. But Reish Lakish Aram and Starfos, Reish Lakish said they would join together. What's it called? The Taklis says that they would somehow magically kind of join together, and they would rearrange themselves or whatever, and the Kohen Gadol would be able to understand what was going on. So the Gemara says, one second, if you have all the letters of the Shvatim on the Choshen, you're still missing a couple of letters. Right? V'haluk sivu tzadi, right? You don't have, there's no tzadik, and the Gra adds, oh, by the way, you're also missing a kuf, and a chet, and a tet. Right, so, okay, so the Gemara, for whatever reason, only asked about one question, one letter, but you're still missing those letters as well. So, Amar Shmuel bar Yitzchak, right? Say, Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov k'sivbam, right? So, you also had the words Yaakov, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov written on the Choshen as well. So, the Gemara says, Harlo k'siv tet, well, that doesn't help for the tet. So, what do you do there? So, Amar Ravacha bar Yaakov, Shifte Yishurin k'siv sham. You also had the words Shifte Yishurin, which is the Shifte Ka, right? The tribes of Amisrael, right? Yishurin is the name for Amisrael. So you have the word, you have the tet in there. So then you're good. So Gemara says, "Meisvei, one second. Kol kohen she'eino medaber baruch hakodesh shushkin eshoyer alav eino shoyer lenoso. Any kohen that doesn't have ruach hakodesh, right, doesn't have the shechina on him, right, you can't ask him, right, from the urim v'tumim. Sharei shal tzadok ve'al salo, because we know that David asked." Meaning Tzadok, and Tzadok was a Kohen, Kohen Gadol, right? And David asked the Mishaila, and also lo, it worked, right? Eviatar below also lo, but he, and Eviatar asked, meaning, and it wasn't coming for him, meaning it wasn't shaykh for him, meaning anybody who asks, any Kohen does not have this, Ruach Kodesh on him, right? It doesn't work, right? David asked, Tzadok asked, meaning Tzadok asked the Urim V'Tumim for David, and Eviatar did, and he was not answered. Shenemar v'yal Eviatar atoma kol ha'am. He went up and etc. Meaning that what's it called? What was that story? Hold on. Right, meaning David. Right, David is running away from Avshalom. I think at that point, and he asked Urim v'Tumim, and Eviatar was wearing them. And he didn't get anything, and then he took Tzadok and he put the Urim v'Tumim on Tzadok, and he got it, and he got the answer that he was looking for, i.e. Tzadok was worthy and Eviatar was not. So the problem is, right, if you tell me that the letters jut out like Rabbi Yochanan, or join together, even like Rabbi Reish Lakish, I guess, Taklis, so what do you need Ruach HaKodesh for? Right, if you know which letters there are, so you know what's the problem? Right, it seems to be you can read, anybody can read it. So the Gemara says, so you have a Messiah behadayu, that the Kohen, that it would help him, meaning that the Ruach HaKodesh would help read the words that were coming along. Right, the famous story, for example, by Chana, which is mentioned, right, that Eli looked in the Beis Hamikdash, saw her davening, and looked in the Urim V'Tumim, and he said, why are you drunk? He said, Chana, why are you drunk? And Chana said to him, no, you're misunderstanding, right? You're not a master of these things, and what's going on? So the Gemara explains that Eliot had looked into the Urim V'Tumim, and he had the word, he had the letters Shin, Kaf, Resh, He. And he understood that to be Shikora, that she was drunk, meaning because Chana was davening not like they usually davened. And really, it should have been Kis Sara. She is like Sara. She is barren, meaning she has no kids. Right, so that, again, the Ruach HaKodesh enabled the Kohen Gadol to kind of put the letters together and figure out the pieces of the puzzle, exactly what he was trying to say. Okay, Vein Sholen El HaMelech, and who is the only one who was able to ask the what's it called, to ask the Urim V'Tumim, was the king. Mishnah also said, not only a king, but he had an Av Beis Din, and also like Yiftach, right, Misha Tzibor Tzarech Lo, and anybody who is needed by the Tzibor. So Gemara says, Menachem Eli, how do you know? So the pasuk says, "Amar Rav Yavod, Amar Kol." The pasuk says, "V'lefnei Elazar Kohen Ya'amod v'Shalo b'Mishpat Ha'urim." Right, and so who? And again, now the rest of the pasuk is important, right? Because it's going to darshan out the rest of the stuff. Where is that? Right, Ya'amod v'Shalo b'Mishpat Ha'urim l'fnei Hashem al piv Yitzu v'al piv Yavo. Now here's the important part where we're about to darshan out. Who v'chol b'nei Yisrael ito v'chol ha'ida. Right. Again, the pasuk just means, right, in front of Elazar Cohen, who is the Kohen Gadol, Yamod, he should stand, meaning someone who's asking the Urim V'Tumim, V'shah lo b'mishpat Urim l'fnei Hashem, right, he should ask the Urim V'Tumim, al piv yetzu v'al piv yavo, through the Urim V'Tumim, they should go out or come in. And now it says, who is the people standing here? Who, A, kol b'nei Yisrael, B, and v'chol ha'ida, C. So what is that? So who, Zed Melech, that's referring to the Melech, v'chol b'nei Yisrael, ito, that's Moshuch Machama, v'chol ha'ida, what's that referring to? Zu Sanhedrin, that's referring to the Sanhedrin, right? Those are the people who are allowed to ask the Urim V'Tumim. Hadron Alach, Ba, Lo, Kohen Gadol. Baruch Hashem, we have finished the seventh parak. Now on to the eighth. You know what, maybe we'll stop with the mission over here. Just to kind of let it all flow together, because the Gemara doesn't really have a break until... you know what, we'll stop here, and I know I promised to do the Mishnah, but Mitzvah Shem, we'll go weiter in the Halakha Shas tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.